hope not too wild. John Dooley has just stepped into the studio. You know him. You love him. He's a track announcer at Arlington Park. Mm-hmm. And the 150th running of the Belmont Stakes is going to be happening this weekend as part of the Triple Crown. And it's going to be a big weekend at Arlington, a slightly larger weekend at Belmont in New York, in Elmont, New York.
Sure.
But this is the opportunity for the second time we could have a Triple Crown winner in the last three attempts.
Yeah, American Pharoah, of course.
Right. I got to meet one of American Pharoah's babies last weekend down weekends ago in Lexington. He's only got 200 of them right on the ground right now, 1-year-old. And he's got some new foals that are dropping right now.
Are you buying
about
one?
100? No, actually, our race partnership has got Mr. Ron Majors, the lead advocate for that, or lead partner. Although there's an argument between who's the lead, but the other guy doesn't want to be mentioned. They have a couple of them. I don't have anything to do with it, but they have two American Pharoah little babies that they hope to turn into cash. Now, yeah. And American Pharoah, interestingly, just think about this for a second. American Pharoah wins a Triple Crown. Then they race American Pharoah again in New York, right, at the Travers Stakes, and then at the Breeders' Cup. Loses the Travers, wins the Breeders' Cup. Not loses, but you know what I mean. Didn't win.
Mm-hmm. What a loser!
As long as they're in the top five, you're not a loser. The point is that arguably the greatest horse of this century so far would be American Pharoah, and that's why they're charging American Pharoah the girls that go to American Pharoah to have babies with him, the broodmares, $100,000.
So they make more money in the breeding part of their career than the racing.
I think by a factor of about 100,000 to one. Yeah,
there's a lot of money to be made out at stud. So
yes,
and American Pharoah is
would be
the stud,
top stud. Yeah, I would think
American Pharoah. I think in the first year it was $10 million in stud fees, about right. It's about 100,000 a throw and about 100. And then maybe there were 150 in his book, as they call it. I like that. In his book.
He has a book?
That's what they call it.
Does he have a bookie as well?
That's what they call it. It's the book. It's the calendar where you bring the broodmare to American Pharoah, and he goes out, you know, into the breeding shed, does his business, walks away. A couple hours later, another one shows up, does his business, walks away. It is the most amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, if you ever have a chance to get down to, like, Louisville, Lexington, horse country, and to see that process.
Oh God,
it's really? Just
not
amazing.
Worth seeing the process. I've seen the process.
I'd like to see Louisville and some of those stables and the rolling.
Yeah, Lexington is really where all that action is. Lexington. It's Lexington, and it's gorgeous.
Well, I'm looking at Justify right now. It says career earnings about $3 million. So it doesn't. I guess I would think it would be more than that for some reason.
Well, he's only started five times. Mm-hmm. So
that's a big number for any horse ever in the history of a horse.
This horse is on his way potentially for a Triple Crown, it seems like.
And now that you missed the last time I was on the air just before the Kentucky Derby with Roe and Richard talking about the fact this horse didn't even start as a juvenile. So he's kind of bucked that trend. That was out the window, and now you've got a horse vying to join American Pharoah.
Only run as a 3-year-old. Has only run since the first of this year, right? Mm-hmm. I think the first race is in February. Mm-hmm.
February 18th of this year.
First race at Santa Anita. Has not lost a race. I don't know if they will. If he wins the Triple Crown, I don't know if they will take him to Travers or to the, which is the the big summer race for horses, or to the
Stud Farm.
No, or the Breeders' Cup. I mean, they may be for the Breeders' Cup. They may want him to win that. Or would you just send him out to stud?
An undefeated Triple Crown winner. I mean, again, getting back to your stud point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much is that worth to the owners and potential breeders? I mean, obviously, there's been talks about it.
Yeah.
So it'll be the ultimate conundrum, but Saturday comes first. Saturday comes first.
Yeah. I've already put that in the books.
For Justify?
I think Justify is going to win.
I think so, too.
Have we started to see what are they called? Foals? The children of American Pharoah start to race already?
Not yet.
Not yet.
They're 1 year. They're yearlings right now. They'll start going into training this fall, and some of them will start coming out as 2-year-olds next like in January, February.
You'll see them racing, whether it's in New York or California and Kentucky, but obviously a lot of people in horse racing with an interest to see those sons of and daughters of American Farrell.
Fascinating.
You know, so
time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, wait you know. Till you see what the one that I saw down there was twice the size at 1 month younger than the horse that I am have an association with down there, and she is a beautiful monstrously sized filly, and the thing about her is that she was telling all the other horses what to do. She was running the paddock there. There was nothing that could be, the other horses were coming over and trying to get, you take down little, whatever it is, carrots or to the babies, and they all come over. And this one, who's like the size of a full horse now, even though she's only a year and a couple months old, was down there, and like she was kind of nuzzling them away. To get center, and then when she was done, she was letting them in order of the ones that she wanted to come in, which I think tells you about the personalities of these horses.
So Justify on Saturday, 13th Triple Crown winner in history, pretty much.
Yeah,
I mean Bach.
I think so. You call all these races.
I liked them. Anna, you missed the fact that my Kentucky Derby pick, Mendelsohn, is just finishing now at Michigan.
Absolutely awful. And was he an outside chance
absolutely
kind of horse?
Awful.
But, yeah, you liked him.
I'm surprised Roe even gave me much money to come back down here.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people were hot on Mendelsohn.
Yeah.
This is interesting, though. Now, there are 10 horses in this race, which is a little more than the Belmont Field normally gets. You know, it sits around there, and there were 20 essentially in the Kentucky Derby, and then what were there?
Whittled down
13,
to,
I think, in the Preakness.
In another sloppy track too. I wonder if we'll have an off track. It's been sloppy in Churchill Downs. It was sloppy at Pimlico and foggy.
And now they're predicting there could be inclement weather for the Belmont.
You know, if you're rooting for Justify, that's one thing. But talking about betting, if you want to bet against Justify, one little stat. 10 of the last 18 Belmont Stakes winners had not run a race in the 5 weeks in between the Derby and the Belmont. So maybe that bodes well. Perhaps for a horse like Vino Rosso, Hofburg, Noble Lindy fits that bill. If you're looking for an upset.
Those were all horses that ran in the Kentucky Derby.
Had a bit of a rest.
The thing about horse racing is that a horse generally gets about 3 to 4 weeks between races, depending on how the horse comes out. 3 weeks is about the average. Mm-hmm. A 2 week rest is sort of unheard of, except around Derby time. Right. And again, these are young horses. This is their first real professional year, essentially.
And this is his sixth start on Saturday, so still a young horse, but yet an incredibly talented horse. Mm.
So here's the one I'm going to throw out immediately, and I think a lot of people are going to go for this horse, and I throw it out without prejudice, with prejudice. I'm not sure which. I'm always confused about which one that is. Gronkowski.
I just saw his name. That's Gronk. Interesting. I'm assuming he is named after the New England Patriot.
He's bought a part of that horse, too. Will be there. Gronk says he will be there.
Yeah.
Bells and whistles.
Yeah.
White carnation, drinks and all.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yes. He'll get to experience what my life is like, which is you go to the track, you're all excited. You think, we got a shot. And then the next thing you know, you get the vet bill.
I'd imagine it's stressful if you have a horse running. It's not as exciting. It's exciting?
It's very exciting. Hofburg I like a lot to be there at the end.
Me too.
And at Tenfold I also like. And people are a little hot on this Bravazo horse. But Ron Majors will be here on Friday. We'll do the final numbers with him. And then he'll present me with a bill. And I Vino Rosso. I love the Vino Rosso guys, the guys who own that horse.
Yeah, cool.
Are a couple of business guys. They're very successful business guys. Obviously, you have to, as I learned early on in this, the fastest way to become a horse racing millionaire is start with $1 billion. And that's where these guys are. But they're a couple New York guys. Yeah, and they're coming home to Belmont with their horse, the place where they used to go out and skip school and go to in the afternoon, and they learned how to handicap races, and then they became independently wealthy business guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great story. And you know, the thing about Hofbauer, he does fit that profile of having run in the Kentucky Derby, had steady twice. So if you're looking for an excuse, you know, it was 27-1 in the Kentucky Derby. But, you know, ran seventh, skips the Preakness, now is going for the Test of Champions at a mile and a half. So, I mean,
and explain
explain that
a little bit, because that's important for people to think about. If they, a lot of people are going to be watching this because it's a Triple Crown possibility here. There's a difference between this race, the Kentucky Derby, and Pimlico and the Preakness.
Yeah, I mean, the Kentucky Derby being a mile and a quarter, then you have the Preakness Stakes, the second leg of the Triple Crown. It's run at Pimlico. It's at a mile and 3/16. Final leg of the Triple Crown is called the Test of Champions at Belmont Park. A mile and a half. So it's not a distance you see so often in American thoroughbred racing. So it really takes an ultimate test of stamina, breeding. And you have to.
That's why
to the
these horses
and
are so special.
Yeah, and that's why American Pharoah was the 12th Triple Crown winner.
Right,
when you go back.
It's almost an impossibility, and that's why you should always take, despite what I just said about Gronkowski, who's right now 12-1, and the money will probably go down on Gronkowski because people will bet Gronkowski because of Gronkowski.
Yep, sure, Gronk.
But always put a couple bucks, do a $2 bet or $5 bet, whatever you want, to win. On the, there will be some 50-1 shots here. Free Drop Billy will probably go off at 50-1. Noble Indy might. Restoring Hope might. Those, you'll see them on the board. Bet the long shots because they come in the Belmont.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With the length of the race is the factor there.
It separates them all out. And sometimes they do have distance horses in there that they know are just going to be there. They're going to rate, as they say. They're going to stay right behind the pack. And then they charge at the end when everybody else loses gas. But I truly believe in this horse, Justify.
No, I do too. After my my Derby pick, I like Justify. I said, you know what? I said I'm not opposing him in the Preakness, and he wins. And I'm going to be rooting for him in the Belmont. But like Rose said, perhaps a horse like Hofbauer and Vino Rosso, and try to make an exact.
I would do a trifecta 1-2-3, and I'd box it with Justify, Hofbauer, and Vino Rosso.
Yep, that's my bet.
And you're probably going to get, you're not going to make a ton of money on that, but it's a fun one. And then if you want to do something really, really ridiculous, and Ron will explain all of this on Friday. You do a Superfecta box for 10 cents, costs you $2.40, $2.40 for a 10-cent super box, and then you throw in these long shots.
Sure, absolutely. And it's fun, and I hope fans, row, of course, maybe Anna, you'll come out to the track, Arlington, where you have a big VIP Belmont bash.
Love
it. So it's fun. I mean, the White Carnation.
And how do people get to that?
Well, just go to arlingtonpark.com, you get your tickets, come in, and again, the White Carnation is the official drink of the race.
What's the White Carnation?
Vodka, peach schnapps, a little orange juice, club soda, some cream.
Refreshing.
So you might prefer that to the mint julep. But
I know. It's somehow more sweet but less disgusting than the mint julep. I don't know why.
I
love the bourbon, but I just know that there's something about the mint julep.
Mint sometimes.
It just doesn't quite work for me.
And, Ro, you can still wear your Fascinators to Arlington.
I love the
Fascinators. Because we had this long discussion with Richard Roper.
Have a Fascinator. I have a Fascinator, and I was wearing it. It looks like a flying disc on my forehead. All right. Thank you so much, John Dooley. The great Dooley, track announcer at Arlington Park, among other great tracks in the United States of America.
Nice to see you, John.
Thank you.